What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today sucks. No way to sugarcoat it, man.
No, we're feeling what everybody's feeling, right?
Yeah, like,
this segment's going to suck.
Doesn't help that it's like a foggy, gray, somber look outside, but hey, this is what off seasons are for.
Fits the day, though, doesn't it? This mess that's here in New Orleans today, and then with the mess we're going back to. I mean,
then you're just right back to Kansas City in February.
That's exactly right, with a big snowstorm coming again this week. So hopefully that'll be the last of the snow for the year, and we can kind of move forward and be done with that. Probably not as well.
You've lived it.
I know, it sucks. We'll get it in May. Like that one year we were playing Tampa in baseball, and it was snowing, and all the baseball players were in the dugout looking out at the snow because a lot of guys, you know, grew up in the southern part of the country or the Dominican or other countries. They'd never seen the snow like that before. Hell, I never saw the snow like that in May at a baseball game. So that was crazy. So the weather can change on a dime. We all know that and whatnot. You know, we're going to get into our script. The one thing I didn't have in the script was Mac getting hit on like he did all weekend long.
I mean, come on, man. Look at this face. How are you surprised by that?
And being called my son on numerous occasions.
Multiple times,
yes.
Yep, I did. And you going with it, this is your son? Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
What am I supposed to say at that point in time? At one point of the evening, can we just have some fun for a second?
Yes,
talk about
please,
Friday night.
Please.
And talk about Joey Chestnut.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Joey Chestnut just randomly in the bar we're at.
I think that's the night.
That was the night.
That's the night.
That was a great night. Like, everyone will ask, like, you know, once they don't give a rip about this game anymore.
Right.
You know, what was the best night in New Orleans? I mean, like, Friday night. Like, everything that was. And then just to think that, like, your night ends. And, I mean... the picture that's on Twitter where I'm just completely lost.
Yeah, is that the one with me, you, Mac, and Josh?
That's right,
when I
yeah.
said like father, son, and grandpa. Like,
it's I so mean, great. I am beyond the next galaxy.
But did you see me?
I mean,
yeah, both of you guys.
Well, Bob, you posted two pictures, and the first one was with the four of you guys, and Dusty just looks blitzed. And then the next one, Dusty wasn't there. So,
right.
So it's like, oh my gosh, what is Dusty safe? Like, can we get proof alive?
Oh, there was worry.
Yeah. No, I was getting told.
Is Dusty alive?
I was getting told who Joey Chestnut was by nobody other than Joey Chestnut.
That's right. Hi, I'm Joey Chestnut, right?
I mean, that man carried himself as if he was Tom Brady.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, God, yes.
Which he is Tom Brady in eating hot dogs.
Right.
So let's, you know, let's tone it down a bit, JC. And, I mean, what a character. Kling walks in. All of a sudden, I'm like, where am I? And, I mean, what an evening, man. It was just, Friday night was the night.
Yeah, it really was. And I don't remember what the name of that bar was by chance, but I did see it yesterday.
Sneaky Pete's.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was
I got a koozie from it.
I saw it yesterday morning, and I'm like, oh, God. Because we left it like, all right, so we were out kind of hanging out, and I did a nice dance in Jackson Square and had some fun.
Oh, yeah.
We were having a good time. It's about 9 o'clock, 9:30, and it's like getting to that point where you're like, all right, it's late. We've been up since 4 or whatever. And I'm like, oh, let's go to the Sneaky Pete's. Let's grab one more before we head back in. And we stay till 1:30. And I remember kind of like escorting Grandpa Josh home at the night because he's randomly like crossing streets. I've got to go to the Marriott. I'm like, that's right here. That's
on,
not
buddy.
Over there. That's the JW Marriott. So I had to redirect Josh back to, you know, where he needed to go. But that was 1:30. And that's one of the best nights I've had in a very long time, guys. I don't know how you felt about that, but like that was one of those nights that everything just aligned.
Yeah.
And you know, just kind of became just a great evening. And there were a lot of people there from Kansas City, a lot of people that worked in the Chiefs organization because it was right across from the hotel, you know, where the Chiefs were staying. So a lot of you know, front office folks and whatnot, a lot of the people came over and do a great job with this organization. I mean, they've been down here almost 2 weeks setting up for IT and computers and all this kind of stuff. So they were ready to let off a little steam as well on Friday night. But then Joey Chestnut walks into the bar. So immediately, who do we call, right? Binkley. We all start calling Jay Binkley. And Jay doesn't answer the phone and whatnot, because I guess it was kind of late at that point in time, 10, 11 o'clock. But I thought Binkley would finally answer the phone. Of course, he's got a droid, so you can't FaceTime him. And finally, we get him on the phone, right? Jay finally, Jay, Joey Chestnut's in the bar. I go over to Joey Chestnut with the phone. Hey, talk to Jay Binkley. And that guy goes, I'm focused on the people that are here, not people who are on the phone. And the people that were here were like four women who thought like Joey Chestnut was this big celebrity walking around, you know, in Sneaky Pete's. But did he roll in by himself?
No, he had like this old man. I went over and talked to him. Yeah. And that was his trainer.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's his trainer, man.
That's right.
It's Muhammad Ali with his trainer.
You know how the night ended with Mac and I? So where we stayed, we had a pool, and it was heated. And we were told, check in, that thing closes at 10 p.m. So we went up to the room, and we found some shorts. And we went down to the lobby with no shoes, no shirt, and just a towel around our necks. And we get down there, and they had a security guard. And he goes, you guys go in the pool? Yeah. No, you're not. Walked us right back to the elevator and followed us to our room.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I would have followed you two as well.
To the bed.
There's some people that were following Mac.
Fell asleep. All right, Nathan. Let's get this self-deprecating bit over with. And gee, many Christmas, we were wrong.
You got to rip
some takes.
I got to
spout some takes, Bob, okay? Come on, let me rip this, okay? I think the Chiefs come out more prepared and more calm than you have seen any team ever come out for a Super Bowl. They've been here. They've done that. Why wouldn't they? I think the biggest problem with trying to stop the Chiefs' offense is you can't stop everything. You don't know what to stop. Fine, you stop Travis Kelce. Okay, they've got a slew of wide receivers. You want to stop the wide receivers? There's Kelce. They've got running backs. They've got, you know, two tight ends behind Travis Kelce who work. And plus, they've got a guy named Patrick LeVon Mahomes II. He's not too bad at this thing either. And once you finally figured it out, it's a Samaje Perine, it's a Juju, it's a Noah Gray. Dusty said it multiple times this week. It's a Justin Watson who could even come big on a third down. I think the game starts out close, 17-13 at halftime, and that's when the experience and swagger comes into play. Mahomes is going to be decisive. He's going to be quick in the pocket. DeAndre Hopkins is going to come up with the big play. So is Isaiah Pacheco. Jalen Hurts is going to turn it over twice. McDuffie getting an interception. That'll ascend his name into kind of pure household name status. And Chiefs win this game 31-20.
Guys, you got a blowout. I like that.
Love
Look
it.
At you.
Let's go.
I'm learning. You're learning. That's exactly right.
Yeah, I'm going to go the opposite of the Rob Britton route. I think Karlaftis has a sack. I think Chris Jones has a sack. I think McDuffie has a pick. I think Nick Bolton has a huge tackle for a loss. I think the offense does its thing. I think Mahomes throws for three touchdowns. I think he runs for at least 40 yards. I think Xavier Worthy shows up big once again. The rookie shoes to fill over this year. He's done it well. I think the Chiefs win 34-19.
There you go. A blowout as well. I think this one is pretty simple.
At least
for
it was quick.
Sitting in the back, which is what most of America has been doing when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs. The three-peat happens, and it happens early. A quick three and out by Philadelphia to start the game, and then Patrick Mahomes takes over. He comes out firing, leads that team down the field for a 7-0 lead. It's Travis Kelce who gets into the end zone. The Eagles try to rally, but the panic starts to set in. Jalen Hurts ends up turning it over, and the Chiefs get a defensive touchdown. They're now up 14-0, and the celebration starts to begin. The Chiefs defense shuts down Saquon Barkley. He never becomes a factor in this game. Mahomes finds everyone on the roster for at least one catch, and Chris Jones dominates that line of scrimmage, comes up with two big sacks, and the Chiefs win it 35-0, baby. Book it, mark it, done. Let's take care of business and roll the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, that didn't happen so much. When it became 31-0, my mother texted me. She goes, I think you predicted the wrong team to win 35-0.
Jalen Hurts was sacked twice.
He did throw an interception.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point in time, that was a big interception. Saved a field goal at least at that point. Still 7-0 at that point in time.
Defense didn't really play terrible.
I don't think our defense played bad at all last night. This isn't on the field defense
for 36 minutes.
I know. It was like in the first half.
Yeah.
We did not expect, you know, the defense to go out there and, you know, pitch a shutout, obviously. But I thought they played well enough to win that game. You know, they held Saquon Barkley in check. They forced Jalen Hurts to try to win the game. Jalen Hurts went out there and made big plays. Patrick Mahomes turns the ball over. You give him 7 points on a pick six, right? I mean, that happens. You can't be doing that kind of stuff. You can't be throwing interceptions. You can't – like, I really can't put the blame on the defense really at all for that game last night because they just never had an opportunity to get a rest on the sidelines. Like, I've never seen it such a poor offensive performance in a half like we saw in the first half by Patrick Mahomes and this team. 11 yards in the first half. Or whatever it was.
From the 816. Can we just move on to the Royals, please?
Yes.
This hurts too much.
Close.
Tell me to switch to country music.
Yeah. No, we're moving on fast. We're moving on fast. It's all part of the deal. We get through it together, and it's good therapy for everybody.
46 days? 40,
end of the
45?
Week, pitchers and catchers report. You know, end of the week, Friday. It's pitchers and catchers. You know, let's go. And I was talking to somebody at spring training. And I'm like, is anybody there yet, you know? And the response back was all the position players were there already. And that's a good thing. Those guys aren't pitchers and catchers. And most of the team is already down there in spring training because they want to build on what they did last season. I think it's a great sign that this team is getting ready to go. And it's going to take our mind off of losing the Super Bowl, right? I almost texted Q yesterday and said, you want to come on tomorrow? Talk a little baseball with us, Matt? Because, it's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, but... Look, the same conversation we had about the Royals, and I know we got to get to a break. We could maybe kind of come up on the other side. How about we just do this? We had this conversation with the Royals, similar to what we're having the conversation about with the Chiefs, all in the same seasons of sports in Kansas City, where you can catch all of that action here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Going right along, 8:20 here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Damn, glad to have you on this Monday. Tough Monday, but adversity can only make you stronger going forward. So,
if you handle it the right way, and look, this team has handled it the right way over the years, right? They've handled adversity in the offseason after getting motorboated like they did yesterday.
How long until the sting wears off?
I think this one is a little bit different than the Tampa Super Bowl because that was early on, right? And it was the second one, and you felt, boy, that one kind of hurt for a little bit, but you knew they were headed in the right direction, okay? And that one for me,
right.
I got over that one pretty quick, and then obviously the winning ensued, and here we sit. I think this one, though, this one's so different because of what was at stake. Like, you're never going to have – I shouldn't say never – but pretty close to never have this opportunity again where you can rewrite history. Like, I don't know if you guys in life and maybe the text line, have you ever been close to something and been right there and then not been able to get it at the end? Like, you've worked so hard, you've gotten this close, you've gotten there, and then you just didn't get it at the end. Maybe it was a job promotion or a girl you were chasing, whatever the case may be, right? I mean, you have those moments where you get to a certain spot, you're like, damn, I could have done this or I could have done that. This was those coulda moments last night for the Chiefs, and you're not most likely going to get the opportunity to go for history again. And it's hard to win one, two, let alone three, as we've seen Super Bowls. And so I think this one for me is probably going to sting a little bit more than that Tampa one, not because I'm not confident in everything going forward, and I'll bet the Chiefs today to win the Super Bowl next year. But I think it the what was on the line and what was it, there was so much at stake. It was, as we talked about on pregame, you know, with Dan and Dana and Josh yesterday, we talked about this being the biggest Super Bowl of all time because of what was at stake yesterday, not just for the Chiefs, but for the National Football League. And they didn't get the job done. And so nothing will be at stake moving forward next year that was at stake this year. Does Philadelphia have a chance to repeat? That'll be the conversation, obviously. Will they be able to win back-to-back championships? I'm going to say probably not. But nothing will be at stake like this ever again, probably in our lifetimes. Mm-hmm. So that's the one that hurt. You had the chance to separate yourself from everybody else, and you weren't able to do so.
Well, and it hurts, too, because there weren't the excuses that it felt like that – Chiefs fans had after the Tampa Bay loss, right? The offensive line, all those things. Oh, Mahomes played heroically. He's throwing passes parallel to the ground only if Damian Williams and Tyreek Hill could catch these passes, right? Mm-hmm. But last night, I mean, we've talked about Mahomes was ass the whole game. The whole team was terrible. There really was no bright spot. There wasn't a positive moment
right.
for me watching that game going, oh, well, at least this happened. I mean, honestly, I mean, Nick Bolton had a couple nice plays, but other than that, this one's going to sting more
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
it's going to be a minute.
I think
me.
It is.
It hurts.
It hurts. Like, you can take positives away, but I don't think anybody
no
wants to really hear that. You know, like, I don't think anybody really wants to hear, oh, well, this was good or that was like, we're all in a mourning state right now. We're all like, damn, because we know what was there. And I, again, the perspective is the word that I use for all of this, and it's kind of what I was thinking about last night walking through the Philadelphia fans as they were screaming F the Chiefs for eight blocks, and then in the
I don't know why that's hilarious.
I mean, but we get in the elevator last night, and we were staying at the Eagles team hotel because that's just where we ended up having the ability to grab a room because there's so few hotels down here, right? And so we're in the elevator going up, and there's two kids behind us that are Commanders fans, and somebody said the F word, and my wife looked at me, and I said the F word back. I didn't know there were kids behind me, and I said, well, they're Philly fans. I'm sure they've heard the word before, right? And the guy goes, they're actually Commander fans. I turn around and I go, well, they definitely heard that word before. So, you know, but like even in the elevator, F the Chiefs, like, you just won a damn football game, man. Like, I know you're lighting your city on fire and whatnot. But I don't get how people can be so excited to run down a team they just beat as opposed to just celebrating what they just won. And that I think that's the difference between the Kansas City fan and the Philadelphia fan. I don't remember walking around or hearing people, F this team or F that team when we beat them. It's all about us and rooting for our team, not spending so much time rooting against the other team. And I feel like that's where the Philadelphia fan is. They were so happy to be F the Chiefs, and they forgot they had just won the Super Bowl. It was like, we beat the Chiefs. Yeah, you did. Go celebrate you. There's no reason to bring us into the conversation. You kicked our ass. Move forward, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was just, it's one of those things. And 913-586-7965, feel free to chime in and let us know, because it'll be one of these, hypotheticals, but back and forth questions, because I guess I don't know how many people soaked it all in. I don't know how many people watched the entire game. Like, when did you bail?
Off? Yeah.
Like, did you bail? Because, some people, maybe watched the halftime performance, went and got a plate of food, sat back down, was like, all right, I'm going to watch this, and then you see how the second half starts, and then maybe that's it. But I am wondering to know, if there was anybody that was like, no,
yeah,
no more.
My mother texted me a couple of times. She goes, Celebrity Jeopardy is very entertaining tonight. Hell, I mean, I didn't take one note in the second half. It got 24-0 at halftime. I put my notebook away. We kind of walked around the concourse of the stadium and saw our boss and, my wife down there as well, and hung out and saw David Koechner in the crowd and, what, no cup holders at the Superdome, and boy, there was soda spilled everywhere last night. Like, it was like ice skating in that stadium last
nowhere.
Night. No cup holders.
So
it was disgusting, right? But we even bailed out of that game, right? Like, I mean, we're at the game, and we're like, let's go down early and see what's going on down there. I saw Gordon Ramsay walking around, and Neil Jones trying to sneak into the locker room when he wasn't supposed to, and whatnot, things of that nature, and talking to some folks, and having an opportunity to catch up with some people, and whatnot. So I think we bailed out of that game early last night, and we were here, but we had things to do. When did you bail out of that game last night, right? Like, if you were at home, did you watch the whole thing? When did you realize that moment was over? Because for me, when it got to 24-0, that was pretty much all she wrote. You could see that they were not going to be able to kind of make adjustments and move forward, and that could be on Andy as well. Like, you look at that left tackle position, you think back, why not try DJ Humphries there? Obviously, Joe Tooney wasn't working at left tackle, and he's very good at guard. He did a great job giving you the opportunity to play out there and kind of solidify things. But once it started to go south, that's when Andy Reid should have bumped Joe Tooney back to left guard and tried DJ Humphries out there, at least for a series. I would not have waited till halftime. Everybody like, halftime adjustments and all this kind of stuff. Now, you got to do it before that, because that game got out of control. And once it got 24-0, that's all she wrote. The second half was totally irrelevant in this
game. From the 8-1-6, I finished the game, and then I remembered the run that we had the last time we lost into a Super Bowl.
Yep.
So he says, from the Olympics, I bailed on Fox commentary at halftime. Just put on some music.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't know about you guys. The last thing I would want to hear is Jimmy Johnson and company opining about the first half of that game.
Right.
Like
that's Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah,
screw them.
Yeah. Like, or anybody, quite honestly, whether it was on CBS or ABC or whoever was televising the game. Hey, you're sitting down 24-0. Do you really want to hear them bloviate about what's going on and how it's not working for the Chiefs? We can see, Jimmy. Thank you.
From the 816, we started cleaning the kitchen after the Chiefs did nothing with their opening drive in the second half.
That's fair.
Yeah.
From the 816.
That's a good line, yeah.
Watched whistle to whistle, like you said. When are we going to be there again? I took it all in, even though it's a tough loss. Yeah, I mean, I think that is one that, like, some people... Because, look, I mean, being humbled is no... coincidence there to Kendrick Lamar, but like being humbled is something that can be very, very accepting and worth it in sports.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think the Chiefs were cocky. I don't think they were arrogant.
I mean, the green suit may have been over the top.
We can have that conversation. Because
we all loved it at the beginning of the day. I'm like, oh, man, that's so good.
Well, and at the ceremonies, remember our whole talking points was, oh, Mahomes seems over this. He's done. He'd been here, done that. Like, that felt awesome in the moment. But now hindsight's 2020. We're like, was that too calm? Was that too cocky? Was that a little over the point, over the mark?
Oh, you're talking about the opening night a week ago.
Yes, a week ago.
Yeah, looked dialed in, yeah. But everything they were saying all week and hearing from these guys and just kind of having private conversations with people in the organization, they were all dialed in for Patrick Mahomes. Maybe the offensive line should have got dialed in a little bit more and figured out a way last night. And I had a chance to talk with Mike Caliendo after the game. He was a big reason why this offensive line wasn't successful. And Nathan, I asked him, I said, man, what the hell happened out there?
Yeah, it's, obviously we did not execute. Definitely a learning experience for me. It's hard. Really hard right now, honestly. And the Eagles are a really good team. And just have to play better. Simple as that. This was not up to my standard or our team's standard at all.
You say a learning experience. What do you mean by a learning experience? Like, what do you learn from the Super Bowl game and this kind of stuff going forward?
Yeah, I mean, it takes everybody. And... you have to be at your best in situations like that, and obviously I was not, and I just need to learn from it and keep getting better.
What did you guys kind of expect from that defensive line today? Because, I mean, quite honestly, they were all over the place, as you know, right? Like, so what was kind of the plan going in?
Yeah, we knew it was going to be a challenge going into it, and they just got the better of us.
How much does this now say, all right, it's time for next year?
Yeah, I think, if anything, for me, just more motivation. And if I'm going to step in like that, I need to play to the standard that Coach Reed sets. And it wasn't that today.
You look at what you did, though, like the last couple of weeks with all the injuries and things happening on the line. You filled in, played pretty good going up until, you know, obviously today when things happened. But, I mean, like, you did a pretty decent job this year. Really nice filling in for that. Can you take anything away from that or not?
No, absolutely. I just continue to learn from it and get better.
So that's Mike Caliendo, and I'll give that dude a lot of credit, man. Like, he was really one of the only people that spoke last night inside that locker room. Travis Kelce had a couple of things to say. Most of the guys just said, I'm going to the podium, and I'll speak there. But Mike Caliendo, man, this guy was a stand-up guy last night on a night where he played awful, and the offensive line was not good. That guy stood up and you know, took the questions and answered the questions. And you know, I thought very candid interview by Mike Caliendo. Like, he admitted, like, I did not have a good game. And so I give the guy credit for doing all that, but still, you got to get better. You have to find a way to fix this offensive line. And I think that has to be, in my opinion right now, kind of that number one priority this offseason. You got to find a way to fix that offensive line, because if you don't, Patrick Mahomes, running backs, wide receivers, nobody's going to have an opportunity to do anything. The blueprint on that offensive line was written last night by the Philadelphia Eagles, and that's why the Chiefs have to absolutely change it this offseason.
Yeah, it was just a real powerful kick in the mouth. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just and that was the thing, you know, like we come down here and, you know, you get asked to do hits in other places and somebody would say, like, you know, what's the weakest part on the Chiefs? And I was like, if, you know, that defensive line is good to go. The Chiefs, you know, their one weaker spot than the Philadelphia Eagles was offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was it. Like, that's where we looked at it. But it's been great. You know, they've, you know, they changed some things around. They went up against some good opponents and held their own. And then, you know, you might have ran into, you know, what was the best defense in the NFL, which statistically it was.
Yeah.
And all week long, that's all we heard was Philadelphia has the best roster.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs have the best combo quarterback head coach.
Not last night.
What's going to win? And, yeah, big guy. I mean, look.
Nick Sirianni coached circles around Andy Reid last night.
And, you know, just used everybody. I mean, they just – I mean, didn't even use Saquon Barkley the way they were. Andy Reid didn't use his running backs either.
A lot of people upset about that. Are you guys upset about the – I mean, like, they couldn't do anything offensively. But a lot of people are like, I don't know why they didn't run the ball more. Like, I had somebody even text me and go, this is as bad as it was that day in Indianapolis when they blew a 28-point lead, you know?
So it's two-sided because Mahomes was your leading rusher carries-wise with four.
Mm-hmm.
And then – Pirine, Hunt, and Pacheco combined for seven. So that sucks because that stat says they didn't run the ball.
Right.
And they didn't. But the other stat would tell you 24-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
You can't run
the ball. You can't run the ball.
And when you do run it, you can't run it on second and 12 when you're getting your ass kicked.
Right.
And I think the problem they had was they never gave it a chance. Like, I think the first five plays of the game were passes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one of those things where it's like, it was never in the script. And I think that's where a lot of next day anger leans towards coaching is, well, you can't run the ball when you're behind, but you know, you can't maintain the clock when you don't run the ball. And they didn't run the ball. I kept telling you in your ear every time they'd show the stat. I'm like, Chiefs had the ball for a minute and 35 seconds. Philadelphia's had it for 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia's had the ball for 18 minutes. The Chiefs have had it for 5. And, you know, that just takes everything and destroys it because you lose time of possession. You add fatigue to your defense. I mean, at one point they had 60 plays.
I know. It was insane. It was insane.
And you can't come back from that. Then you can't run the ball. Then that defensive line is sharks in a water that's full of blood.
Yeah.
And they're just going to eat,
well,
man.
And I think they went in. Happened. I think they went in with the game plan of, we know this defensive line is really, really good. So in our mind, and I'm speaking as Andy right now, and I could be, again, completely wrong on this, yeah, but this is how I feel. They went in knowing that defensive line was going to be an issue, right? We knew they were really good. They just had the issues reversed. They thought that defensive line would probably be a little bit overpowering on the offensive line, and you wouldn't be able to get a ground game going. Because what do you have to do as an offensive lineman to get a ground game going? You got to fire out. You got to push that defensive line back. So they may have gone into that game realizing, okay, we don't think we're going to be able to run the ball against these guys because they are more physical and they are a better defensive line than we are offensive line. Mm-hmm. So why don't we go in with the mindset of having the passing game work, okay? Let's try quick passes. Let's try this. Let's try to move the ball through the air because we think that's the best way to exploit this defensive line, which was clearly the strength for the team, right? And so you're watching that game, and you mentioned the first five plays were passes. Those are your scripted plays, obviously. The first 15, as we all know, are always scripted right now in the NFL. And so if the first five that we saw were passes in the game, that kind of tells you the mindset and the thinking of Andy Reid saying, okay, I don't believe as a head coach that my guys on the offensive line are going to be good enough for us to run the ball. So my job is to put them in the best possible positions to succeed. So we're going to try to throw the football. Well, we didn't know that defensive line was going to bring it like they did and have a pass rush that we have never really truly seen in a game. They didn't blitz one time in that game last night and sacked Patrick Mahomes 6 times. And so I think sometimes the best laid plans just get blown up. And I think the best laid plan that they had going into this game was, we're going to try to throw the football. We're not going to be able to move these guys and create 2 yards of space to allow our running backs to go or to allow our offensive linemen to get to the next level of the defense and take care of the linebacker. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to come out and throw the football. That was their game plan. That's what they thought. That's what they saw on tape for 2 weeks, and it didn't work. But they didn't adjust. And they still continue to try to utilize players out there who weren't getting the job done. And once it started to snowball, they got in their own heads. Patrick Mahomes tried to be a hero, and here we sit 44-20 or two, or what, 40-22, whatever the hell the final was last night.
And I think to be fair to Andy Reid, I mean, there were multiple what they call little pass runs, which are 3-4 yard checkdowns.
Yeah,
quick,
right.
And Mahomes wasn't hitting him. There was a 3rd and 4. I mean, Travis Kelce's coming off a curl route. He's open. I mean, it's at his feet.
Mahomes was very inaccurate last night.
The whole time.
Yeah.
And indecisive. He wasn't going to the right spots. He's missing open guys. He's shuffling his feet. He's running into sacks. I mean, I'd say was sacked 6 times. I'd say half of those are his fault.
Sure.
I think the O-line was awful, but I'd say maybe 2 come to mind off the top. I'd have to watch him again, but I know at least 2 of them, he's running straight into guys.
Do you think that Patrick Mahomes was overwhelmed by the moment?
The moment?
Everything that was at stake, from the time they went to where, because he played like he was overwhelmed by it.
No, I think the moment, no. I think once he got out there, and like you say, the metaphor of getting punched.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing because, I mean, you're right there, you're in it, and you can, since you've been around it, you kind of get that sense like, okay, whew, this is going to be tough. I mean, not. You know, to compare, but it's like when you were in Little League Baseball and you'd, you know, travel around and play different games, and every once in a while, you know, you get out there and you'd see the guy warming up, getting ready to throw against you, and you're like, oh, he's humming it.
Yeah, we're screwed.
And you're like, ooh, all right, well, we'll see what that looks like, you know, and then, you know, your coaches would try to keep you calm, be like, hey, he's throwing it down the plate. He's throwing strikes. It ain't going to hit you, you know, because you have that. And then you get up there, and the first pitch you see is, and you're like, it's going to be a long day.
The other thing that I saw last night, and I don't know if you guys noticed it, like when the Chiefs had that first penalty called against them, the Trent McDuffie one, Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo lost their collective minds on the sidelines. And I think that kind of had an impact as well. It was. It was clearly a makeup call from the call before. But of all teams to be losing their minds over an officiating call in a game that early, it can't be the Kansas City Chiefs because of the narrative that's been created out there that the referees were in the pockets of the Chiefs, right? I think you even said to me they took their referee team photo in front of the Chiefs end zone yesterday instead of the Eagles.
Yeah.
Kling said that, yeah. The ref photo was in front of the Chiefs end zone and all that kind of stuff. I saw Andy Reid lose it on that call. And I understand nobody liked that call, but nobody liked the offensive pass interference either that they called on A.J. Brown when Trent McDuffie fell to the ground. Like, that was a bad call as well. So I thought to see that call happen early in the game, you say it was a big call, it turned into a big call, but it was early in the game. To see Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo react the way that they did to that call, you lost your cool a little bit. That translates to your players, and they lost their cool a little bit, and nobody was really able to recover in those. I've never seen Andy get that mad on the sidelines before during a game like that. That was uncharacteristic of Andy. Basically everything in this game last night was just uncharacteristic of the Kansas City Chiefs.
We'll try to paint the scene what we saw in the locker room last night because it was brutal. Was brutal. As we continue live here in New Orleans, here on 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, you can listen on the Odyssey app as well. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, this show that we call Fesco and Dusty on Kansas City's home for Kansas City sports. Continuing to power through here on 96.5 The Fan, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens with you on Fesco and Dusty. Still here in New Orleans, maybe forever. It's going to be all right, Bob, I promise. It's going to be all right.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, so what are we delayed now? 35?
30 minutes, yeah. Okay. Delayed 30 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, boy. It'll get better.
Okay, here's a good one from Denver Sports Radio. Denver's Altitude Sports Radio, 92.5 FM on X. Uh-huh. Ding dong, the witch in KC is dead.
Nice. I mean, look, when you're portrayed as the villain of the league and you lose, that's what comes with
everything
that you have. And, you know, when Cincinnati lost to the Rams, there wasn't this sort of love affair with them losing. Because it was like, ah, man, you know, Joe Burrow, good job. You know, you beat Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
The the real story of that playoff run was outside of Stafford getting his ring was it's not Mahomes and the Chiefs. And that's like not even in the run of the three-peat yet. And then last year in Vegas, it was people rooting for the San Francisco 49ers, who have always been good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
For the most part.
I mean, yeah.
And you had people rooting for them over Kansas City because they don't want to see another championship. And then this year, absolutely not. And you're like, so you're rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles? Yeah. You know, it's like we said when we were down here, we're running into people left and right. And, you know, we're wearing Chiefs gear throughout the streets after our show, walking around in New Orleans. And, you know, like going through the French Quarter, and you see people that are like, boo, go Eagles. And you're just like, kind of get to a point where you have to cross the street and you're at a stoplight and you have to like make small talk. Oh, are you guys Eagles fans? No, we just came down to see the Super Bowl, just decided to cheer for the Eagles because we're trying to see the Chiefs win.
Right.
We have the restaurant guy. And he's like, yeah, I'm just ready to see somebody else win besides the Chiefs. So, again, when you're that team and everybody wants you to get beat, it doesn't matter who's playing you. They just want to see you get beat. And when they do, part of the enjoyment of seeing that other team win is also seeing that team get beat, especially when you get blown out.
I think we had this conversation yesterday on the pregame show, and I asked openly to everybody, when did we start hating greatness in American sports? Because, again, you know, I go back to Jordan era. Nobody hated that, right? Like, Knicks fans did, but nobody really hated that. Everybody was rooting for Jordan. And whatnot. And it feels like it's a recency thing with the New England Patriots. And I wonder, if the Patriots didn't have this 20-year run of this dynasty, would people view the Kansas City Chiefs differently? And would they have been rooting for the Chiefs to do something that nobody else had done before, and that was win three consecutive Super Bowls? Because the consensus seemed to be yesterday when we were talking about that on the pregame show, Dan Israel even said, he goes, no, I think it was the Patriots that kind of turned everybody into a nation of wanting to see the big, bad New England Patriots and all these top teams lose, as opposed to watching these teams go out there and win and do historical-type things. I would love to see historical-type things in sports. I think it's cool when things that we've never seen before or never even fathomed before start to happen in professional sports, and you root for that. But the Patriots dynasty went on for 20 years, and that may be a big impact as to why people were rooting against the Kansas City Chiefs, because people don't want to see the league overrun for another 20 years by the same team like New England did.
From the 918, read this carefully and listen to it.
Okay.
That's the first playoff loss for the Chiefs in 1,106 days.
I know.
So, look.
And it wasn't like they didn't make the playoffs for that amount of time, right? They were winning games during that time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, it's a tough one to swallow. Obviously, like, you know, I went into this game thinking that one team being here more often than not and having the experience and knowing what to do and just like, yeah, it's a Super Bowl, but this team's doing this for the third consecutive year. It's just another day in the light of their season. That's not the way they put it. And maybe it's the case that, you know, Philadelphia wanted it more. I don't know if that's possible to have that.
I hate that take.
It's tough because it's like, you need to tell me that team wanted to beat the Chiefs more than one team wanted to do something that nobody's ever done before.
Yeah.
I think that's another reason. I mean, I gave you my three reasons why they sting the most, right? Blowout number one. It just, that sort of loss, it irks you. Number two, the legacy knockoff. Like, now, the only way to do that ever again, you got to win one, let alone two, and then get to the third. It's just incredibly tough, and it's just, you know, it's when you watch this type of game and you see that sort of thing happen in a moment where you do have the opportunity to change something in the league that's never been done before and really jump, you know, a lot of people's lists. And it happens that way. It's like, yeah, it sucks, you know. But now, build yourself back up and move forward. Take a little bit of time to let this one heal, And then, you know, you go back and keep trying to beat the Chiefs because Mahomes and Reed ain't going anywhere.
No, they're not. And again, it is. It's all about perspective. It's all about the way you want to view it. And the guy from the 918 with the 1,100 days or whatever it's been since we last lost a playoff game in Kansas City is that's the way we need to look at it. Yesterday blew. Big picture, small picture. We've talked about this for years. Is the big picture the micro versus the macro? In the moment, the micro blows, man. Nobody's going to deny that. Yesterday sucked a big one, okay? But in the macro, the big picture, it was the third straight Super Bowl we've been to. And there are many fan bases out there that have never been to a Super Bowl. They have never seen their team win a championship. They've never been part of what we've been able to be part of for the last 7 years in Kansas City. And so that's why I say perspective is key. Be upset about yesterday and understand it stunk, and it was arguably the worst loss we've seen in this Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid era, depending on how you factor in that other Super Bowl loss. And we know it was bad, and we know it was painful, and we know we all hurt from watching that game last night. But the big picture is, damn, we're still in a really good spot right now. And you look around, and I would imagine every other organization at this point in time, other than Philadelphia, would probably be willing to trade anything to have any sort of success like we've been experiencing in Kansas City. And that's why I think it's so important to take in that approach of perspective of where we are. We're waking up this morning. We're starting the healing process. We're getting over that game from yesterday. Maybe you started that healing process like I did at halftime yesterday and knew that this thing was over. Maybe, as somebody pointed out on the text line, after the first drive went three and out to start the second half, they kind of started cleaning up the kitchen and decided to move on from that. Maybe that's when you started that healing process. But the healing process, I think, for a lot of people has already started to begun. And once we get through today and we kind of get back into our routines and you hear the sound of the cleats and the pitchers and catchers and all that kind of stuff start later on in the week, we'll start to have more of a perspective of like, yeah, that did stink. But by God, how lucky have we been to be part of this ride that this organization has taken us on over the last, I'll say even 12 years, since Andy Reid arrived here in Kansas City. They've made the playoffs every year except one. They've been above 500 every single year that he's been the head coach of this organization. It's been a remarkable run, and it's not over. I'm not sitting here saying it's over, but a new run can begin now. Just because you didn't win the Super Bowl doesn't mean you're left for dead, doesn't mean your franchise needs to be folded, doesn't mean that the dynasty is over and all that kind of stuff. It's how you respond, and if we know anything, when they get their ass beaten in the playoffs, they respond better than anybody the following season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's never fun to lose, but it's never fun to lose, you know, like that. That's the, you know, that's the biggest one, I think, in my, I mean, when you look at...
Because it's so, not, we're not used to that. It's right. So unaccustomed, you know?
Yeah, and that's the second time it's happened. So, yeah. Like, when you have seen something that doesn't happen a lot, but then it happens again kind of in the same way,
mm-hmm.
You get that, you start going through those deja vu periods in your brain where you're like, oh boy, this is starting to look like the Tampa one.
Yeah.
And then you start thinking about what that Tampa one was. And I think the reason, and I'll wrap this up with that because we have Josh Briscoe coming up on the other side. I think when you think about that, like, that is kind of the narrative of Chiefs fans, right? Like, if you want to put this into perspective, because you talk about the Colts game, and Andy Reid's early tenure.
Mm-hmm.
It was the no punt game. It was the Colts. Repeat offenders.
Right.
Right. And it was Lynn Elliott and Harbaugh in the early 90s. It was the Colts. And then, you know, you move forward. It's like, okay, we just can't win the playoffs. It's the same thing. We do this, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden, Tampa Bay blows you out of the Super Bowl. And then you get to another Super Bowl. Philadelphia blows you out of the Super Bowl. And it's like, we do this all the time. We have, like, the same sort of losses. Either it's the same team or it's, you know, the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what stinks. You're like, well, hopefully that never happens again. And then you're like, shoot, it's happening.
It's happening again. Again, yeah. It happened the same way. But again, I mean, it's been so few and far between. That's why these are so tough to digest. Yeah. It just doesn't happen. We're not used to it, and we should never get used to it. But again, it's all about perspective. It's all about focusing on small picture versus big picture. Wounds suck today. Wounds will get better as we move along. The off season starts in about a month. We'll start to get excited about the new additions. what the offensive line is going to look like, what new players are going to come in here, the draft. And by the time we get to the middle of March, everybody's going to be focused on next season and excited for next season because it happens so fast in the NFL. The turnover is so fast. There's no waiting for months or years or anything like that. We're flipping the script. We're flipping the calendar to March, and the season begins on March 12th. And so I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see what this team does this offseason because I think it's going to be a very active offseason for the Chiefs.
Should be. We get back to the other side. We'll be joined by Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor here on 96.5 The Fan, which is your home for Kansas City Sports.